out in Wales too.
Yes.
Now, it's quite non-politic to sort of airing your political views, as you know. And at that particular time, so many years ago, I mean, the suffragette movement was only more or less starting in its infancy, you That's know. Right. And this was a seaside town where I lived, and nothing very much going on, you know.
But which town was it?
Rhyl. Oh, yes, Rhyl. Next to Colne Bay.
Yes.
And, of course, my mother was... she was a very outstanding character. She was, of all things, she was a cattle dealer.
Really? Just a purely factual thing, could you tell me her name and when she was born, roughly? I mean, you know.
Oh, I don't know where she was born, but she actually hailed from West Bromwich.
I see,
that's
yes.
probably born in West Bromwich. Yes. Her name was Annie Lloyd,
yes.
but we always knew her as Nancy, mm-hmm. Annie Lloyd.
And your father was?
My father was Arthur Lawrence.
Yes.
He was from Shifnal.
Ah, yes.
Shropshire.
Yes. So anyway, they both, your mother and father, settled in Rhyl.
Rhyl.
Yes.
Married and spent their honeymoon, I assume, in Rhyl, you see, and that's where I was born.
Yes.
And I'm very glad of it, too, because, I mean, of course, I participated in quite a number of the Welsh festivals, you know, because I'm a musician, and I'm pleased in a way because you see, they've got a very extraordinary means of culture there. You see, they have these at Stedford, as you know, and they have all sorts of groups that you can participate in. You know, even map drawing, needlework.
Yes.
Of course, apart from the musical side of it, you know, and of course the choirs are a very big feature.
Well, what did your father do? You said he was an artist.
Father was in the meat trade and farmer. Farmer, yes.
I see.
Business and all the farm products.
All his life, I mean, was that? I mean.
Yes.
So he had. What, a little farm, did he have his own?
Yes, yes.
But he also dealt
had
in
had the business,
farm.
Yes. And we had stock from other people, like butter, and we stock vegetables and everything like that. Everything in the food line, in the way of agriculture, shall we say, and horticulture.
Yes. So did he actually have a shop?
Yes,
or was he a wholesaler?
Oh, no, we had a shop, and it was established in the reign of King William IV.
Goodness.
Yes.
So that was a pretty old established firm. So he inherited that from his parents?
No, though it came was quite a stranger to Rhyl.
Ah, so he bought it, did he?
Yes, bought the property, yes.
So what can you tell me a bit about him? He came from Shifnal, but what were his...
Well, he was a country type of man, really. But on the other hand, he was a very good actor. And we had a very, very good dramatic society at home. And he took a lot of parts, so did I. In fact, we were all acting, to tell you the kind of truth. We were always very keen. We took elocution lessons, my brother and I. And my mother was very good in that way because she'd had a very difficult childhood because she had a stepmother who was very, very dreadful towards her and her and my aunt, her sister. And she put them in what do you call a sort of home, you know, just disbanded them. But they were, as a result of that, they were brought up by their aunt. And she was a very strict disciplinarian. And then eventually, my mother and the family went to America. And they lived in Pittsburgh for a time. And then, of course, my mother and... I don't remember about the uncles. I think they must have all come back together. And the aunt actually is there. Custodian, I suppose. Well,
so her father was a Lloyd, but the stepfather was some other name, was he?
I don't know anything about the stepfather, no.
Yes.
No, I know nothing. Not the stepfather, the stepmother.
Stepmother?
Yes, no, I know nothing at all about her. Mm. No, because, of course, she died off when I was only very, very young. We just vaguely heard about her, you know.
Yes. But just to get back to your father again, you say your father was in this agricultural sort of trade, but he was also an artist who could paint that picture. Was he an unusual sort of man?
Oh, yes, he was, yes. Yes, he was out of his orbit, you see what I mean? He really should never have been in that kind of a business, but it just happened that his father was in it and he was in it, you see? You know how things were even years ago. And he sort of fell into it and had to endure it, let's face it. Yes. But he used to seek relaxation with painting, And I've got quite a few paintings which I, in my will, I hope that my nephew will...
That's a nice idea.
Welcome.
Well, what, did he have other things like that? I mean, was he interested in music, for instance?
No, he was not actually interested in music. No, he wasn't, no. Yeah. No, reading. He was very keen on reading.
What sort of things?
Yes.
Dickens?
Yes, all kinds of books like that. Yes, oh, yes, he was keen on reading books like that. Not what I call trash, you know.
Do you think he was a sort of self-educating man? I mean, keen on...
Oh, no, he was a very well-educated man. He'd been actually a teacher.
Ah.
Yes, in some... And funnily enough, you know the bone set... Perhaps you don't know the bone setter. I can't think what his name is now, the big bone-setting man.
No, I don't. No. You mean...
A bone manipulator.
Oh, I see.
He was rejected by the medical profession. Of course, he made good in the finish, and he trained a lot of students at St. Thomas's Hospital, of course.
This was sort of massaging, was it?
I don't know. To some it was a gift. It was some gift, you know, where people had something wrong with their bones, and they manipulated them. Funnily enough, my father had rooms with this man's brother. Mm-hmm. And funnily enough, the brother was even more talented in that way. Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll remember his name, I expect, when we're thinking about something else.
Sir, of course, he was a knight.
But I mean, how did he come to the farming side of things then? If he'd been a teacher, or did he give up teaching?
Well, he was a youngish man. When he was a teacher, I suppose he was in the late 20s, even middle 20s, probably. You see, and then of course he met my mother, and they married. And of course, my mother was connected with the people who knew Rill, and I think that's how they got there. Really, I never really knew.
Yes, I see. But getting back to your mother now, I mean, she how did she come to Rill in the first place?
Through marriage.
Through marriage.
Yes, through marriage, and through being connected in West Bromwich with the family who knew Rill. I suppose they came on holidays or something, and there was some news of this business premises being available, and I suppose that's how they... my mother had some money left her, you see, from her... through her grandma, I think it was. Mm. Anyway, she had some money, and my father had a little bit of money, and of course that's how they started, in a very small way, you see.
So they're in Rill then, and you're a little girl... What sort of house did they have?
Oh, we lived above the premises at first. We had the premises up above, a quite big house, and we had a nursery, and we had a yard. And funnily enough, at the back of the yard, there was a stables. And they used to have coaches there, you know, with horses, four horses. And people, instead of going like they do a motor ride, of course, they went on these coaches, you see. And of course, the... my brother and I, we had some sort of flowers growing on this. This is like a raised sort of yard, you see, and the new mews was sort of at the back there. And they used to come round when the horses all ready to start off, you see, and they used to pass this yard. And we used to get these little flowers, nasturtiums, I think they were, and just make a little bouquet and toss them to the drivers. And they used to wear them, you see, on their lapel, you see, or on the whip. And then they drive round into the main street where people were boarding the coach, and then off they go.
That's very nice.
Yes.
Well, you were the youngest, were you?
I was only just my brother and myself, that's all.
I see, and he was older than you.
Younger.
Younger?
Yes. I had to take him in hand because, as a matter of fact, he was very delicate. Very delicate indeed.
And but he ended up in university, you say?
Oh, yes, he was in Keys.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he end up doing, actually?
Industrial chemist.
Yes.
And then he went into that, after that, he was in the War Office during the war, in the chemical defence, of course. Mm. And then after that, he transferred to Ag and Fish.
Goodness. Yes. So he was really a public employee, as you were, in fact.
I wasn't always, I wasn't always, good gracious, no.
But,
no.
You know, you mentioned that as you retired from the
service. Oh, I did, yes, I retired, yes. It was one of those kind of things, you know, you sort of endured.
Yes, yes.
Well, what happened with me, of course, you see, my parents had, my mother, rather, had some idea that I would go in for music, whether it was teaching or as a performer, I never discovered. But anyway, the First War intervened, and that upset everything, you see. And I was entered for the National Assembly, but of course it was all cancelled, you see, as a result of the war. Well, of course, I helped in the business in the war, because I was about 14, I suppose, 14 to 15. Oh, I was a bit older than that. No, I was less until I was 16. What am I talking about? No, I was 17 or 18, and well, of course, my musical business was finished off for the time being. And then eventually, of course, I got married.
Mm. So then you got moved out of Rhyl altogether, right?
Yes, yes,
like
got married. Yeah. Well, no, I didn't get... No, that's no, I didn't. I got married, and my husband then started in horticulture. He had greenhouses and things like that, you see. But actually, he'd been trained as a farmer.
Mm.
But of course, his father was a big industrialist in Walsall. They were a big clothing manufacturer, still going today, as a matter of fact. John Shannon and Sons Limited, a very big firm now.
Mm.
And then I had this idea that, mind you, when I was quite young, I was always very good with the needle. And that picture there, as you see, I started that when I was 12.
Goodness, did you really?
Yes, and I was instructed by a lady who was trained at the Kensington School of Needlework.
Really?
Yes, and I finished it up. I started it when I was 12, and then afterwards I finished it when I was about 14.
Mm.
It really, actually, is a really fire screen, but the whole edifice all collapsed, so I just left it as the picture.
Mm.
Well, then, of course, after that, as time went on, I was good with the needle, and I thought to myself, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to I'm going into the dressmaking. Mm. Well, of course, my parents, not particularly my father, but my mother, oh, you'll ruin your eyesight, you know. And my aunt said, oh yes, I think you know you'll upset your eyesight, because I'd had the measles and I had eyes affected. But anyway, I was determined, and I made about 28 dresses, I think. And, 18 dresses, different styles and different materials, and my mother assisted me, and we sold them to various friends. As a result of that, I started in my own business.
Did you really? You mentioned that in your letter.
Yes.
By 23, you had several employees.
Yes, yes, five people, yes. Oh, yes, yes. And I learned my lesson with them too, you know. I was very annoyed one day, because I like people to come and... I used to say to them, if you're ill, stay away. I don't want you if you can't do some work. Right. So don't come here with calls and everything. Just stay away and that'll be it. And only once did I sort of grumble at them, and I learnt my lesson. I didn't do it again. You know, women are very funny. They mug.
Mm.
So I didn't do that again. You know, you live and learn.
Mm. But if you look at how your parents brought you up, were they quite disciplinarians, do you think, or not?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. At the dinner table, my mother would say, nobody should speak while I'm speaking. See? Another time, when we were much younger, if we dared sort of grumble about the food, my mother had plenty of answers. Oh, yes, she'd say, you eat it to do you good. You don't eat it because you like it. Finish it up. No pudding.
Of course, in those days, parents were very strict anyway, so your parents wouldn't be unusual, I suppose.
No, they weren't. I couldn't say they were strict, really, because those are just instances where we got a bit out of hand.
Yes.
But in the normal way, we were encouraged to participate in conversation and... you know, there was no restriction like that. Only, of course, we were not, which is a very good idea. Somebody's talking and then somebody else is trying to. It's ridiculous.
Oh, quite. No, I quite agree. You just have consideration for other people.
Yes.
Whether
we never had any chastisement. We did have punishments in the way of... my brother used to have the comic papers. Puck, I think, was the name of the paper. And that was confiscated. And we thought it had been sent to the hospital. We were very upset about that, but we found afterwards it hadn't. We were very pleased about that. Put away in a cupboard for the time being. But I tell you what we had to do, and I think that's the fault today. We were kept busy from the time we got up till the time we went to bed, in some way or another.
How was that done? I mean, did they make suggestions?
We had chickens, we had dogs to feed, of course we had cats, of course, we were very lucky. We were swimmers. We taught to swim when we were quite young, because we lived at the sea, you see. We had the advantage of everything. I had a pony to ride. I could do everything like that, you see, and you see how deprived are the children today, you know what I mean? We had everything, mm-hmm. when I look back now, we had every single thing you could possibly desire.
What about servants, Mrs. Shannon?
Oh yes, we had maids, yes, two maids.
What did they do, sort of just general maids, were they?
My aunt did the cooking, my aunt lived with us then. Mm. She didn't always live, a lot of the time she lived with us and she did the cooking. And then eventually we got down to one maid.
That's your mother's sister?
Yes, mother's sister, yes. Mm. And my grandfather, Lloyd, he, of course, was a man that he wouldn't think anything in those days of putting £100 on a horse. Now, just imagine how the family fortunes dealt with that. That's the reason he went to America. But he used to go down to the docks very frequently, my mother was telling me, to meet what he called the greenhorns, the people coming, the boys and young people coming from England. And he'd take them off to his home and feed them and eventually find them jobs. And he was very good in that way. Joseph Lloyd. Of course, I never knew him because he died long before I was born. Mr. Treat in that way, really.
You never heard why or how your mother came back then from America, or why she came back? She never told you?
Well, I think the stepmother was responsible for that. I think the stepmother got a son by my grandfather. And I don't know whether she came back to England, but the family, the two brothers, Arthur and Ernest, my uncles and my mother and my aunt Clara, they came back, but how they came back I really don't know. Mm. And then that's when they settled with their aunt.
Mm. Anyway, that's splendid. So you had quite a lot of freedom as children. You knew there were rules.
But I tell you what, we had common sense. My mother would say, supposing I said to her, what shall I do with that? You know what she'd say? Stand and hold it. If you've got no more brains than to know what to do with that, just stand there. Another time she'd say, my brother never understood that, but I did, I can't stand children, she said, that are not sharp. See, we were lined up. Now, my father wasn't that type at all. He was quite different, you know what I mean? Mm. I could always get round my father, you know. There was a question of when we were having our hair bobbed. And my mother said, oh, well, if you can get round your father. I said, that won't take long, you know.
Did she rule the roost, do you think, looking back?
She was a very dominating character, but on the other hand, she had a great respect for my father's judgment. And many times, she often used to say, your father was right, he was right.
Do you think she ruled the home and he ruled the business? Was it?
No, they were equal with the business. No.
Really?
My mother, I think, taking it by and large, was the prime factor because she had more to do with the farm. When she bought stock, she had to sometimes take interpreters because she was right up in the hills and couldn't speak a word of English. And of course, another thing with the funny thing with the Welsh people, you see, they either like you or they don't like you. And of course, my mother was something strange. You can just imagine a woman going and buying sheep and cattle and things like that. Just imagine how extraordinary it would be, you know. It would be funny today, really, wouldn't it?
It would.
But they seemed to cotton on, and they didn't, some of these farmers were dealt with for years, and they always said, when you retire, we shall retire. And they did. And their sons took over.
She sounds rather a character, in a way, from the way you're describing her.
Oh, she is.
Quite a
marvellous businesswoman. Marvellous. Absolutely marvellous. Yes, she was. Oh, yes, everybody acknowledged that.
Good with money, do you think?
Oh, yes, rather. She was good with everything, Mother was. Yes, she was. She was good with everything to do with the business, I mean. Mm. Now, she wasn't a bit artistic. See, that's where my father fitted in. She liked a lot of gay colours and things. She hadn't got any idea of blending or anything like that. No. And funnily enough, when I think back, she was a mixture of masculine and feminine. She'd mix with the men, smoking, of course. She smoked, of course. And yet, on the other hand, she'd be very particular about her underclothes, all got to be threaded with ribbon, you know, which you couldn't associate with mothers at all.
Mm.
She was like a dual personality, no doubt about that.
Interesting, yes. And what about religion, Mrs. Shannon? You say you yourself don't believe in religious ideas, but what about them? Did they?
Well, my mother, years ago when she was a young person in West Bromwich, I think they went to the Wesley Chapel. But my father, never heard anything much about him. I don't know, I'm sure what happened, whether he was anti-religious or not. Occasionally they went to church, I think, just for the look of the thing, you know, but...
What, to the Church of England, would that be?
Yes, Church of England. But they were never sort of...
It didn't matter a lot. What about bringing you up? And were you told to read the Bible and things like that?
Oh, well, not... Well, you see, I had governesses. I had two governesses. And the first one was a trained nurse from London. And she had some ill health, and my mother met her through staying at a friend's house where she was employed as a nurse, to nurse the patient. And her health was, chest I think, was affected, and my mother said, well, why don't you come to North Wales and get some good air? And she invited her, and she stayed ever since until she married. She then married a man from the Wolseley Motor Company in Birmingham, and that was it, you see. We remained sort of friendly ever since, and now of course I'm very friendly with her daughter, who lives in the south of France.
Yeah.
And that's how it is.
So religion's not important. What did they do with their spare time, if they had any, your parents, then, do you think? I mean, how did they spend
time? Well, my mother went to whist drives, I remember, and dances, of course. Oh yes, dances, whist drives and dances. And another thing that was a very great hobby with them was billiards. Because we had a billiard table, you see. And the people next door, lived next door, didn't have a business next door, but they had their house next door, and further along they had their business, which was photographic. And consequently, of course, we were always being photographic, you can imagine. And they used to have duels between each other, you know. They were all excellent players, of course. And then there was a hotel nearby where one of the owners came along, bought it, and his daughter was absolutely a super billiard player, so became friendly, you know.
So your mother played the billiards as well?
Oh, mother, yes, yes.
Really?
Mother was excellent, yes. Oh, yes. Of course, she used to drive a horse. Of course, we had horses, of course we did. We had three horses. We used to go in the governor's car when we were children to round the farms, you know. Oh, yes. But she was never a lover of animals. Now, I'm just the reverse. She regarded animals as money. Do you know what I mean? They were not interested in animals whatsoever.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's, of course, I'm a vegetarian.
Was she actually?
No. Oh, no, they had meat about twice a day. No.
Yes, I mean, it'd be difficult to be in that occupation and to be a vegetarian.
Well, I mean, I tell you how it really was. My father was at business during the day. He never had a decent lunch. And it was felt, obviously, that he must have something in the evening. And really, that's how it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was never that kind of thing. I don't know.
So, really, they have quite a full... I should imagine they have quite a full life anyway, without any recognition.
They make quite a lot of money, too.
Did they really? Oh, yeah. It sounds as if they were reasonably well off. Actually.
But they were very honest people. My mother used to say 16 ounces to the pound, neither more nor less.
Mm.
That was... We were always brought up as absolute honest people. We never had any... We had some employees that weren't honest, of course, but my father always spotted those. That's where my mother used to say, your father was right. Somebody with a face like an angel, and he robbed the till, you know.
Yes.
But,
I imagine they didn't have much time, really, for recreation.
No,
they must have been pretty busy if they were
doing this business. And another thing, with a farm, you know, it always makes me laugh when people say they're going to retire and start a farm, because they don't know what they're doing. It's one long headache. Now, there's always something going wrong on a farm. You can take it for granted.
And all hours every day of the week, too.
Of course.
Mm.
You see?
So how did they do this? I mean, they lived on the...
Well, we had a staff, you know. Oh, yes, we had
a staff.
So did
they have a manager in there?
Oh, no, we had a sort of fellow who was acting as a bailiff. But my mother was really the prime mover for the farm. She used to give the orders, you know, as what had got to be done and so on. And my father was morely concerned with the business because he was in the town, you see, and we were on the outskirts.
Mm. Oh, so yes. Your mother would go along to the farm now and again, would she, and give it?
Well, we lived on the farm.
Oh, yes,
you
lived on the farm. Oh,
yes,
I see.
It was only small, you know. It was only small, but we had quite a good bit.
Yes.
And we had... and then, of course, my mother learned to drive a car. She wasn't satisfied with the horse, you see. She Of course, my father was always nervous of cars. He hated cars. And my mother was very funny too, because she used to go to the town in the car, of course, get out of the car and be in the business. And then, of course, in the evening, come home in the car. Well, now, my father would do his best to try and get out of driving home in the car, you know what I mean? He got some job to do or something, you know. We knew it was all sort of, you know, pretense, because he loathed going in the car. And the funny thing was, my mother, this is where she was so queer, she used to say to me, "Do you know, I put the wind up your father the other night." I said, "Well, I don't wonder he doesn't come with you. I don't wonder he doesn't want to drive." Oh, it was funny.
Did she ever have a career before she married your father? I mean, did she do anything?
Oh, she was in business, in the same kind of business.
Really?
Yes, in the food line, yes.
Was she?
In West Bromwich, yes.
So she actually had some experience before she married him?
Yes. Oh, yes, she was 25 when she got married.
Hmm.
Oh, yes.
What was she doing, sort of in a shop or...?
Yes, a business, yes. Really? Yes, in West Bromwich, yes.
I see. So So, really, she had experience before
ever married. Oh, yes, yes. And so my father, with his father's business, you see.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes, they weren't fools that way, you know.
Now, you see, when I imagine, you must tell me if I'm wrong, but I imagine at that time it would have been usual for a woman, even if she had been involved in business before, once she married, to give it up.
Not my mother.
And concentrate on the children and the house. Now, why didn't your mother do that?
Because she was enabled to make the money to pay other people to do it. Simple as that.
And she didn't want to sit around in drawing.
Well, she wasn't a domesticated person at all. I don't think I ever saw her with a needle in her hand. And, you know, oh no. You see, she always had plenty of people. We had a governess, and we had two maids at that time. My aunt was plenty of people around, you know. And she didn't have. She was fully occupied with the business. I mean, oh yes. Very occupied, I can tell you.
So there was no question of coffee mornings and
stuff?
Oh!
No. No. Oh no. But my mother was, she was of course conservative, of course, pretty obvious. And she was only vaguely sort of participating in things like that because of the business. You see, there were a lot of people there were liberals in those days.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you can't upset your customers by airing your conservative views, can you?
So she kept
quiet
on politics on the whole. Your father did too, was he?
Oh, yes. 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 And in latter years, he became a Mason, and he was very, very disappointed. When he saw the kind, he was a very honest man, and when he saw the kind of people that had become Masons, it destroyed his faith in the thing. And of course, he just paid his financial dues, and that was it.
Mm.
But he was very disappointed. He thought they were a different type of men.
What about the house, Mrs. Shannon? I mean, how was it kept, do you think?
Oh, we had, in the farmhouse. It was a villa. It was called a villa, actually. It was people from Manchester built it on fields, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we had oil stoves. We didn't have any gas. No, we had the old kitchen range. And we had some oil stoves. Of course, coal fires. We had coal fires all over the place. My mother always had a coal fire in the bedroom. I mean, we had plenty of people to do all these things, you know. We had tons of coal. We had a whole truckload, not a train load of coal. You know what I mean? Today you couldn't think about it, yes.
Yeah.
Couldn't think about it, you know.
Mm.
And
but you said you lived over the business.
In the beginning, yes, but then we went to the farm. We didn't buy the farm until about 1912, I should think.
Mm. Mm.
No, we lived up to the time we moved to the farm. We lived over the business.
I see,
and then we let that, as a big premises, we let that to a person, you see.
Yes.
But we occupied the business.
I see.
And the outer parts.
Yes, I see. Mm. Yes. So, was she fussy about the house? And did she insist on things being clean and tidy?
No. Mother was not domesticated in any way whatever. She was absolutely business from the word go.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But
not
on
interested.
On the other hand, other things perhaps interest, like billiards for a start, you know, a whist driver or meeting people, she was quite pleased and all that kind of thing. But as regards dusting, well, we never thought of Mother doing anything like that. We should have been staggered. We should have thought something's gone wrong. What's gone wrong? Mother with a duster in her hand, good gracious.
But what about the servants? And would she insist on the servants doing these things?
Well, my aunt managed the house.
Ah,
yes,
I see.
Aunt did most of the managing of the house.
Hmm. So that really freed your mother.
Yes, oh yeah, oh yes, oh yes. My mother wouldn't have been able to have done half if it hadn't been for my father and my aunt, because of course my father helped an awful lot in the business, did things like income tax and all that kind of nonsense, which mother wouldn't have had patience to do, you know, all that kind of thing, and the bills, of course, and then we had, of course, we had a bookkeeper to do the accounts, of course, everybody booked in those days, and they didn't pay cash.
That's right. Looking back on it, what did she give to the business then? I mean, she doesn't give the money side so much. Your father does that. Is she expert in farming technique and animals and that sort of thing?
Well, she knows a lot about the farming,
yes. Does she
get
on with people?
Yes.
What does she contribute, do you think, to the...
Well, of course, she was very good in the business. She was one of these kind of people that could tell you, for argument's sake, how much you weighed.
She was very observant.
Oh,
was she?
Yes. Mm. Very. She'd only got a look at any more and she'd say exactly how much it would weigh.
Mm.
Oh, yes, she had, in that way, she had gifts, you know.
So she knew the technique.
Oh, yes.
The business.
And selling, too. She
yeah.
was expert at selling. Now, my father was extremely good at setting out things. He had that artistic sense. Our business is quite unique. Absolutely unique. The shop was very nicely tiled. In coloured tiles and designs, they were very nice. And we had rafters, oak rafters, very nice. It was very nice, very old. I told you, established at the reign of King William the Fourth.
Mm.
A lot of it had been preserved, you know. And.
What do you mean when you say it was unique? You mean it was the only one in real?
It was the only one like it, yes, it was the only one like it. I don't think I've ever seen one like it since, because my father had all sorts of gadgets made, cabinets and things to display things, which of course you never saw in those days. They just stuck things on the counter and that was it.
Mm.
Oh no, we had something quite different, very different.
It sounds a very interesting life for a little girl to grow up in, actually.
Well, as a matter of fact, on Sundays, when we lived over at the shop, my brother and I, of course, we occasionally had to go to Sunday school, very occasionally. My mother was never insistent on these kind of things. So we used to say, could we go and play in the shop? And mother said, yes, if you don't make a noise. So we used to go down and fiddle around and wear a tomato or something. She was very good in that way, you know. Mm. She knew jolly well that it was happening purgatory to us to sit there in a long sermon in the morning and all that kind of thing.
Mm. So she was quite understanding of children.
Oh, very, very. And she was determined to give us everything that she hadn't had. We had dancing lessons, we had elocution lessons. We had every opportunity of exercising, music lessons, of course, I had.
Yes, I was going to ask you, what about her attitude to your education as compared with your brother's? I mean, was she keen to give you both equal chances, do you think?
Well, I'm just trying to... Yes.
Because in those days, very often, it's quite common, wasn't it, for the boy to be the
yes.
blue-eyed boy,
yes.
you know, and to have all the money spent
yes.
on his education.
No, there was nothing like that. My mother always treated us very fairly. But the funny thing was, when my brother was 13, of course, we had everything. We didn't lack anything. Well, we didn't have anything. We never wasted anything. We were never allowed to throw bread away. If a tramp came to the door, my mother always had something for him. Oh, yes, and in the business too, some of these poor women used to come. I used to give them parcels of meat and stuff to make things for their kids, you know. Mother said, oh, yes, well, the money's nothing. We shall make more, you know, sort of business. But when my brother was 13, she thought, well, it's about time he made up his mind what he's going to do. So she tackled him, you see. And she said, have you made up your mind what you want to be? No, I said, no, he's a quiet type, no.
Like his father, was he?
Absolutely.
Mm.
No. Well, she said, just you think it over and let me know. Of course, she didn't really mean all that, you know. he didn't think it over. He was very keen on nature, and he was busy with birds, building bird boxes and all that kind of thing. Well, then when, of course, he went to the grammar school, he was studying chemistry there. I suppose that gave him the idea. Burnt his eyebrows, by the way, in a few experiments at home. You know, we had all those kind of things going on. We were keen on dogs, of course, and everything. But anyway, when my second governess came, now she was very talented. Her father was the headmaster of a boys' school, or I think it was comprehensive even in those days, in Leamington Spa. And he was a, well, I don't know how to describe him, he was a genius at mathematics. He'd work out problems just going down the street. He couldn't keep his mind off maths. And his wife used to say, his name was Warner Simpson, "Warner, that's enough." She'd see by his tense look what he was doing, you know. But anyway, his daughter, I say, was she studied particularly French and botany. She was very keen on botany, but of course she was a good all-rounder anyway. And of course I had to take some exams, you know, I was terrified, of course, on music exams with an examiner on either side of me, you know. Having to go to Liverpool in the winter with cold, wondering about my hands going to be warm enough to play, you know. Oh, agony.
But she was quite, was she ambitious for you? And did you feel she
was? She was. And really, it was through her that my brother went to Cambridge.
How did that happen, do you think? I mean, did she push him or what?
Well, of course, he was at the grammar school, you see, and then, of course, after that, he finished there, the grammar school, and then he went to a very nice college, which is very near where we lived, near our farm, Epworth College. And he was there for about 2 or 3 years. And of course, some of these boys were going to university at the college. And between one thing and another, it all built up, and with my company sort of pushing it on, it was all decided. Well, the idea of a tradesman's son going to Cambridge, I mean, in those days, well, good gracious, I mean, what are these people aspiring to, you know? Where do they think they are, you know? As a result of that, other people in the town suddenly thought to themselves, oh, yes, something in that. And others started.
So they set the pace in a way,
hasn't it? Yes, they did. They did.
Were they well-known people in Rhyl? Do you think your
parents? Oh yes.
Were they sort of celebrities?
Oh yes. Yes. Because my father was in the acting line for one thing, in the Dramatic Society, you see, and of course I was also in the Dramatic Society, and we, my elocution mistress, she gave, different times gave concerts at which we participated. You know, the pupils. So, of course, oh, yes, we were very well known indeed. Oh, yes.
It sounds a really very full life.
I think I'd better show you some photographs of what I look
like. I like that. They were local farmers, were they? And your parents bought their
animals. Oh, no, local residents. Rhyl is a place where people reside, you know.
Yes.
In a lot of cases, in retirement.
Yes, yes. You know?
And, of course, a lot of people, I suppose. They started businesses in the town, you know, there was all sort of kind of businesses, jewellers, of course, and...
And they'd come to the shop, you wouldn't, or presumably the shop delivered, did it?
Yes, we had a horse and cart, you know.
Yes, special carts.
And
where did they get the meat from? Was it the surrounding farmers, really?
Yes,
around
yes,
Hill,
yes,
really, mainly.
Yes.
I was going to say, your mother might, I don't know, but your parents might have found their whist and their billets useful for meeting people who could supply them with meat and meeting customers.
Oh, yes, yes, we did. We had a sort of connection eventually with the farmers, the local farmers, you see. Oh, yes. That was more or less what my mother developed. My father wasn't, he started in the beginning with dealing with the farmers, and he didn't do any good. I don't know why. But when my mother went on the scene, it was wholly different. I mean, I think she manipulated them. I just don't know. Although one of her favourite sayings was, "I'd drown men with anybody." I thought myself, well, considering you're always mixed up with men, it sounds a funny thing to say. But I tell you, I think she was really referring to one or two rather nasty types, you know what I mean?
Yes, getting to her views about women, your father's views about women... What made them into supporters of women's suffrage, do you think,
I think it was a foregone conclusion with us that women and men were on the same level. You see, my mother being such a marvellous personality, she was really quite unique, there's no doubt about that. I've never seen anybody, I've met anybody like her ever. And I think it was my father accepted her, I mean... That was it. There was never any question of mother being sort of lower down. I mean, neither was she up above. were
it
equal.
It was a partnership.
Yes, we were equal. Yeah. And, of course, as I say, she was interested in the word going, the women's suffrage, of course, naturally, because she'd been a law unto herself, you know what I mean? She hadn't had any of this restraining masculine sort of influence over. Of course, my father wasn't that type of man. But anyway, eventually, Mrs. Pankhurst came to Rill to address a meeting. And it was then that my mother must have attended one of the meetings, obviously, and she invited different people, sort of gave hospitality to these people that accompanied Mrs. Pankhurst, yes. You see. Mm. And two came to my home. This is when the farm, when we say the farm, I can see them now in our dining room. I don't remember the one, but Miss Flatman, I remember very well indeed.
Oh, Ada Flatman.
Yes, yes. Ada Flatman, yes. I remember her very well indeed. And I remember they had these brooches in the form of a prison gate.
That's
and they were
right.
very proud about those.
That's quite
they were very
right,
proud.
Yes.
And Miss Flatman was a very sensitive type of woman, you know. Nothing aggressive about her at all. I could see her to this day. And funnily enough, I don't remember the other one. I don't think she could have been quite so much in the forefront, you know, but I can see them both sitting at the dining table very, very distinctly. And later on, I remember Mother taking me to Liverpool. Now, they'd opened the suffrage movement, they'd opened a shop there. They'd taken over a shop.
Mm.
And I don't know whether there's anything in that in this brochure at the shop. I'm not quite... was it
probably
in,
yes. not, but I mean they had shops in most towns.
Yes, they had a shop in Liverpool, I meant distinctly, and I got an idea that Miss Flatman was there the day, that was perhaps the reason we went. Anyway, we saw all this. Yes, I'm sure it was in that brochure, there is a photograph of it, yes.
Yes, yes.
And I was mixed up, you know, we were... What the parents were interested in, we sort of mingled in. You know, we didn't ask a lot of questions. We just accepted
it
all.
It
yes, exactly, yes.
Yes.
yes. And it was a foregone. Another thing I remember, and in fact, quite recently, I don't know where it disappeared to, but I had a piece of their ribbon.
Oh, yes, the purple, white, and
yes, green.
Green, yes.
yes. And another thing, I've never discovered anybody that's heard of this, but there was a game introduced there on the in the manner of the snakes and ladders. Do you ever
Pankasquith? Oh, Pankasquith. Yes, Pankasquith. Yes, yes, I know.
Yes.
I know. I've seen pictures.
Have you seen?
You had that at home.
We had that. Yes. Oh, we're very keen on that because we've always been dicing and taking off to Booth Street, you know, in the Black Maria. But the funny thing is, I don't know what disappeared. Well, you know how things, when families break up, God knows what happens to the things, you know.
Yeah. Did your mother, you had a women's suffrage society in Rill, I suppose. Did you have a branch of the WSPU?
I don't think we did.
Didn't you?
No. Mm. I don't seem to remember anything about it, because I should remember my mother going, and had it been so, no. I don't think
so. She just acted as hostess
to
Mrs. Pankhurst?
And I think probably, for all I know, she might have gone to meetings, Manchester, Liverpool, because you could get on a train there in a couple of hours there.
Yes.
I mean, it's different
today.
Yes,
anyway, you wouldn't necessarily be interested as a child.
No.
But she was... Was she active, or were either of your parents active in local politics at all? I mean, did they stand for the council or anything like that?
No. They couldn't do that. They would have done if they'd been private individuals, no doubt, particularly my mother.
Their trade just kept
them. But my mother was, she was reckoned to be a remarkable businesswoman, and she really was, and I know about that. She was very clever.
Mm.
But of course, I must admit, we never used to value her. She always used to say, "Never praise me."
That took her for granted, sort of thing.
Absolutely.
What happened later, Mrs. Shannon? I mean, what's the later history of your mother's life?
Oh well, what happened? Let me see now. Well, after the, just kind of think now.
We've been talking all about the First World War period and before.
Well, of course, when the Second World War came, my mother more or less got out of the business. She developed asthma. She got asthma, and she wasn't much in the business. And we'd sold the farm, land, and the house to the Cooperative Wholesale Society in Manchester. They took it over, and I think, I don't know what they ran it as a dairy or something. Anyway, they took that over. And then my mother retired, you see, and she was one of those kind of people that, having been used to sort of people being waiting on her, she liked to touch a bell, you know. She liked hotels. I can't bear hotels. She liked hotels. She liked to touch a bell and find somebody answer it. So the answer to that, of course, was very fortunately a friend of ours. She got a very nice hotel. She'd been abroad a lot, and she came and settled in Drill, and she got a very nice hotel on the Marie Drive, which is facing the sea. So, of course, my mother went there as a permanent resident. And the hospital was very near, and that was one thing that they did support a lot, was the hospital. In those days, you know, you had to guarantee a bed. There was none of this free business. And my parents were very good supporters of the Alexandra Hospital. And eventually, of course, as years passed by, they used to say, there'll always be a bed for you, Mrs. Lawrence. There'll always be a bed for you. By the way, did I say my name was Lawrence? My maiden name was Lawrence?
Yes, you did, yes.
So that settled that. Well, then, of course, eventually she... when the Second World War was over, my mother had already gone down to my brother, who lives in Harpenden. And my father was on the way. And as a matter of fact, I've got the postcard to this day. He sent a postcard to say, I'm going off to Harpenden. He said, thank God the war is over. Those are the last words he ever wrote. And he got a chill when he'd been down there very long. He got a chill. And he was taken off to the hospital. Nobody could diagnose what was really wrong. But I went and I made some very nice soup here when I was living here, and went down for the Sunday to see him. And my brother met me at the station. I knew jolly well that was something funny. And he told me he died at 7 o'clock that morning. Apparently the nurse went to wash him and he just fell back and collapsed with heart. 73.
So your mother was then left alone.
Yes.
But they'd already sort of retired.
Yes. Well, my father kept on to the bitter end, really. Not so much with the business, but just, I don't know what he was doing, really. Just playing around, really. Just closing up, let's face it, closing up. And of course he had the upper part to the whole the property was being sold, you see, and they were he was waiting for the new owner to take over. That was what it was. That was in the High Street. And then of course the farm had already gone, and so all those difficulties were overcome, you see.
So how did your mother cope with living alone then?
She was in this hotel. She wasn't alone.
Yes.
She had a bed sitting room, and then of course she had her meals in the hotel. Now she was very good at mixing with people, and of course an awful lot of people. I'll tell you who come there. Very funnily enough. Strange enough, this is very queer. I had some very valuable china from my mother-in-law, and I thought to myself, what to do with this? I know what I'm going to do with this. And I got in touch with the Victoria and Albert Museum. And they, when they knew what the china was, they said, Spode were the people that made it, and they got a museum. So, of course, I got in touch with Spode, and to cut a long story short, I gave them all this, and I had an exhibition in Regent Street, and some of my pieces were on show there. And I, during that week that the exhibition was on, Mr. Copeland was head of the firm, of course, Mr. Robert Copeland, very nice man. He was packing the things, you see, and I met him there. And, of course, previous to that, he'd received the china, because they collected it from the London office, and he wrote a letter. He said he was absolutely thrilled. Those are the words. He thrilled, he said, when I saw these pieces. And then he told me about the exhibition. Well, anyway, I met him at the exhibition, and... in the course of conversation, I mentioned Rill, I don't know why. I mentioned the hotel where my mother was. And he said, oh, yes, I know Sun Home. I said, you know Sun Home? Yes. Oh, he said, I've got two aunts living in Prestatyn. Wasn't it funny?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And now you see, my mother was very friendly with all these people who make the china. All these china people now, which I'm invested, by the way, and so was she, they all came to Rill. Yes, Ainsley, the China, Copeland, of course, and who else? Minton. And there was a gentleman staying there, a very elderly man, and Mr. Thorley. Mm. And he was a regular visitor there. He was from the Potteries, you see. All those people, you'd be surprised, they're all in the same business. They're all intermarried.
Hmm. Well,
oh, yes, they're all intermarried. And he'd remarried. His first wife had died. He's an elderly man. Of course, he was 90, as a matter of fact. So he came down one day and sat in the lounge and sort of... Oh, I said, what is it, Mr. Thorley? Oh, he said, I've been doing my packing. Well, I said, doesn't your wife do your packing? Oh, no, 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 he said. I wouldn't be able to find anything, you know. Well, when I was in contact with Mr. Copeland, I wrote in the letter, I said, would you by any chance know a Mr. Thorley? Would you have known a Mr. Thorley? And when I saw him in Regent Street, he said, he taught me all I know.
Really?
You see how
very
you...
Very close world.
Yes, oh, very, very. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, she was social, so that she didn't feel the loneliness of being a widow.
Oh, no. No. And, of course, my mother was a smoker, too, but she had to give it up when she got asthma, of course.
Because that was a sign of being emancipated in those days, wasn't it, if women smoked? I mean,
yeah,
it was,
yes,
it
my
was...
mother always smoked, well, not as a young woman, I don't remember her then, of course, but in later years she did. And that was something quite unique, you know, yes, it was. Mm. Oh, yes, it wasn't a regular thing, you know, might have smoked behind closed doors, but didn't in public, you know.
Did she have an American accent, or did she retain her English?
Yes. No.
Yes.
No, she didn't.
One thing I wanted to ask you, wasn't she, I mean, she's a tradeswoman, she's got property and so on, wasn't she worried by the militancy, the suffragette militancy, the breaking of windows, the...
No,
burning of buildings there.
No, I never heard any discussion about that, because, I mean, it was accepted. I mean, to say, you see, the suffragettes were treated abominably.
And of course, but she was never worried by that aspect of their campaign.
No, right. All for it, I'm sure. Mm. Knowing Mother, all for it. I mean, to say, the way sort of, you know, justified the means.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes, and I mean, you see, the men were so dreadful. Mm. And there was this cat and mouse act business, you know. Mm. It was also horrifying, really, because, I mean, we're not used to anything in those days like you are today.
Mm. Mm. So, really, she felt that because women had been so badly treated by men, that women were justified
Absolutely.
In using these techniques, really.
Absolutely. I don't think she agreed. I never heard anything in praise of the... person that threw herself in front of the horse at the Derby. I thought Emily Davidson. That was too. That was jeopardising the life of the jockey and everything else. I wouldn't agree with anything like that. Mm. But chaining to railings or breaking a few windows. Well, I mean that would have been all the day's work.
Mm. Mm.
And another thing too, in my opinion, I don't think the suffrage movement would have got underway at all, only for the fact that it was educated people that. Supported it.
Yes. Well, of course, your mother was an educated woman, wasn't she? I mean, how educated do you think? I mean, she hadn't been to university.
Oh,
she?
No, but no.
She was very intelligent,
sharp-minded
woman.
Yes, yes.
What sort of educational background?
I never heard anything much about her education. I never heard anything much about it. They must have gone to school, of course, my aunt and...
And she was keen on it. I'm keen on it for you and your brother, keen on education.
Oh, yes, she was. Yes, she was. But she was never keen on me being sort of...
studious?
No, because I never adapted... I didn't think I displayed any gift. You see, I was busy with music. I used to have to practice at 7 o'clock in the morning for a start. That was my first practice for a couple of hours or... 1.5 hours, something like that. After that, we had our breakfast. Then we were assembled in our dining room at home when we were on the farm to have our lessons. Then we had a break at 11, and then we had a little bit of... we did our homework then, and then after that, we went out walking in the country with our governess, and she was an expert at botany, so she entertained us a lot, you know. Or we went swimming, of course, being the sea. Mm. Or we went to a dancing lesson. I mean, there was always something going on, you know. As I say, we were occupied all the time. Mm. That's the answer to it. You see, another thing too, we had a little allotment. We used to deal with that.
What, your parents encouraged you to
do? Oh, yes, we had to do something all the time. I had to skim the cream if it was necessary and pick the flowers and pick the gooseberries. And we had to do something all the time. We were taught to make our beds, our room was tidy. And when I was about three or four, I suppose, I could play the piano, by the way, and I was about three and a half by ear. My mother didn't want me, you see. And when she became resigned to the idea, she wanted a girl, and she wanted one that would be musical. Now, the only person that had any talent in music was my aunt. She had a very nice voice. So that seemed to be transmitted to me in another form, you know. But
Well, what do you mean when you say your mother didn't want you?
Well, she was mixed up. I can understand it. I can well understand it. She just got married, more or less, you know what I mean? They were trying to build this business up together. You see, in a foreign town, let's face it, they were English and there were Welsh people, a lot of people that were there, you know. And everything was sort of key to the fact of building the business. Then, of course, my mother was very ill when she was carrying me. That was another thing, you see. I can quite understand it. She was fed up with it. And she nearly passed off when she had my brother. And he nearly passed out too, which is very, very extraordinary, you know, in those days. You can go to hospital to have babies. We had the Scotch nurse who was a bit, you know, excitable. And there was the old doctor, Dr. Lloyd, you know, who's come, you know, frowning. And I think they panicked when my mother was having my brother. And they just bundled him on the floor. And this was in December. But they got a chill. Chill on the liver is a matter of minutes old. And he had suffered from that for a long time. And then that was one of the things that my mother decided. The best thing to do is to build his health, never mind about his education. And we were on the farm, we swam, we were in the open air. And he became as brown as a nut. Everybody used to think he was more or less from Australia. He was so brown, we were out in the sun. That was building the health was mother's idea, you see.
Did she have any attitudes to health that were unusual? I mean, you say she wasn't a vegetarian.
No, phobias.
Did she have any sort of unusual ideas about anything, not just health, but anything?
Well, she always had the idea that good food was never wasted.
Yes, she's just commonsensical about diet and exercise. And
of course, we had everything. I've tasted everything. I've tasted venison, I've tasted quail, because pheasants, I mean, there was nothing to us, because we had all these farm around, you know. They'd bring a brace of pheasants and you'd sort of do something for them, give them a glass of whiskey or something, you know what I mean?
They weren't anti-drink, of course, your parents.
No.
What did she make of the Welsh then? I mean, you say she got on with them
marvellously.
Was she sort of, did she feel the Welsh were a bit peculiar, or did she just mix with them very easily?
I don't know. She got on with, my father failed. He definitely failed. He couldn't get on with them at all. Because, you see, this is the kind of attitude. You go in the country, in those days I'm talking about. I hear you've got some sheep for sale. No. That's the start. No. Well, you know jolly well they have, you see. Now, my mother would say, oh, well, I was talking to, Mr. Joseph Lloyd of the Crickin Farm. Oh, cousin. Right.
So it's all a game, really. You have to play the game.
Absolutely, until, of course, you got well dug in, yes. You'd always got to be recommended. Of course, I don't know what it's like now. I'm talking about how many years ago, of course. Yes. But they were right up in the hills. Had to have an interpreter in some cases. So you can just imagine. And but Wales is a very nice country. I mean, I, of course, you appreciate it more when you're away, don't you?
But, yes, well, that's true. And it's because you're in a very romantic sort of part of Wales. But
we went picnics. That was another thing we were. Oh, no, another thing, of course, we had bicycles.
But all the family, mother, father, and
mother wasn't a... She went in the horse and cart. Father, bicycles, yes. And my brother and me and my governess. But the funny thing was, we used to go picnics, and we used to have very nice picnics too. We'd take a whole salmon, you know, all that kind of thing. Friends used to join us, you know, all bikes, and just go outside, you know. It was really lovely. Snowdon, we went to picnics on Snowdon, and we had a lot of fun like that.
You think of your parents as active, do you? I mean, physically active.
Oh, yes.
Going around the place a lot.
And, of course, another thing, we were very interested in... there were two things with my mother. She intended my brother and I to know to be able to go to any society and behave ourselves and know what to do. Now, we were taken round to hotels when we were about six. And I remember going to, with my governess, one of my governesses, to Harrogate. We stayed at the Prince of Wales Hotel.
That was an expensive place.
Well, we had money, that's it. We went there, and there was a bishop there with a high dog cart. He took a fancy to me, and as I was about six or seven then, he took me, I should be about seven. And he took me riding, you see. He didn't do the driving, he had a coachman, of course. While I was doing the driving, my brother was in the hotel office being taught how to use the typewriter. Pressing the thing. And I've got to this day the little note that he wrote. Now, before we actually start, we didn't start our lessons till we were about eight. But we could all read and write. We could both read and write. We had that, but we didn't have the only regular lessons. From our first
the whole school. Family background yeah. makes you educated.
Yes,
in
yes.
A way,
oh, yes, mm. yes. We all could all read and write. Mm. And so we had a sort of an advantage in that way, you know. By the way, would you like some tea?
It's a bit of an imposition on you.
Can you spare that?
But what sort of clothes did she wear? And did she take a lot of trouble over her clothes?
Well, I'll tell you.
She's wearing what one would call sensible clothes.
Yes, sporty. That's a drill. And she's taking.
What do you think about that? And was that the normal way she dressed? Business-like, practical.
Yes.
Clothes?
Oh yes, yes. But yes. On the other hand, my father's sister was the head person in a very beautiful gown shop in Shrewsbury. Now, as a result of that. She developed my mother's taste for dress, and my mother had some beautiful clothes, and we also had a wonderful tailor at Chester, and he used to make the most marvellous things. I could see them today. You couldn't afford them today. You definitely couldn't. Mm. All beautifully lined. Perfect. Now, my mother always went to that tailor for costumes, and showed me. My aunt, of course, used to choose the things. She used even hats. Mother had to go to a wedding. There was never any trouble. She'd just write and say, I'm off to a certain wedding today. Can you deal? See? That was Mother all over. Another time she'd say, I'd like to go off to Betty Sequoyd now. And my governess would have everything packed, everything ready. Mm.
So she wouldn't make a fuss about clothes, but she dressed
oh,
well.
Oh, she wouldn't dream of going to any place unless she was properly attired. Yes. No, and she had the most beautiful clothes. Everything.
But she didn't take an interest in clothing.
No.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I mean...
She was never looking at fashion books. Oh, no.
Yes,
no.
She made sure it was right, but she didn't spend a lot of time.
She relied on other people to put her right, like the Queen does.
Was that so in general in life? Did she delegate a lot, generally?
Oh, yes. Yes.
That is...
Mother was business from word go. That was really her big interest, you know what I mean? Mm. And meeting people. She liked meeting people. Mm. She was very good in that way.
And of course, the two go well together.
Yes. She was very tactful, yes. She
looks pretty determined, though, pretty tough.
Oh,
yeah.
Spiritually, yes, she was. Yes, she was. Oh, she fought illness, too. Mm. Yes. She was a very nervous type, though, in that way, and I think that's why the asthma developed as a nervous complaint, you know.
Nervous in what way, do you think? I mean,
it's a nervous complaint, asthma.
Oh, it is. You're quite right.
Yes.
I wondered, she doesn't sound the nervous type from what you're saying.
No, well, she used to get neuritis a lot, different types. She learnt swimming when she was about 50. She learned to drive a car after that. She was very determined, Mother was. She didn't have all asthma in those days. Of course, she only developed it when she was in the late 60s, I suppose, when she retired.
In what situations did she get nervous, do you think? I mean, it's a difficult question, that, I suppose. But I mean, what made
Never had any sort of... It isn't that type of nervous. It isn't where you meet somebody, you're nervous. It isn't that. No, it isn't that. Mm. It's some psychological sort of asthma.
I see, yes. Yes.
No, it doesn't. Being she wasn't nervous. No.
Yes.
Oh no.
Yes, because I can't imagine her.
No, she wasn't. No.
Describing the way she.
No, she used to have this swelling in the back of the neck, which is sort of neuritis. As a matter of fact, to tell you the candid truth, it was a result of having children that really buckled her when she was quite young, and I can remember now, just coming back to me now, when I was about eight, I suppose. No, not as old as that. Six. Mm. She was in a bath chair. And they said she'd never walk again. Her feet all swelled up with all this nervous complaint, whatever it was, I don't know. And she couldn't get her shoes on, all that kind of thing. Mm. And she was in a bath chair for a long time. And then eventually she met this nurse that I was telling you about, who came my became my second governess, and she cured her.
I see.
And, you know, really, she did it with mind over matter.
Mm. So that, and also the business probably helped, didn't it? It gave her an interest.
Yes, now that was a very sad blow, because my mother, as I say, was crippled. She couldn't do the business or anything. She was out of the business. Mm. This was when I was about seven, I suppose.
Mm. Before the war, anyway, before the first war.
Oh, yes, long before the war. And, of course, my father was left high and dry. Well, he had, fortunately, had my uncle helping him at the time. But anyway, my mother was quite useless. And this governess, Miss Chappell, her name was, she was, really, she should have been a doctor. She diagnosed my mother's complaint, really. And what happened then, it was very expensive business, but she started taking my mother round to different parts. They went to Harrogate, whereas they went to Buxton, places like that.
Spas and things, yeah.
Yes. Mm. In hotels, of course, cost my father a lot of money, as you might imagine. Mm. And my mother used to say, I'm feeling better today, and the governess wouldn't answer. So she said, did you hear what I said? Oh, yes, she said, yes, I did. Absolutely ignored it. And, you know, in a matter of about, I suppose, a year, my mother recovered. And what the work she did after that's just nobody's business.
So it was really, in a way, psychosomatic illness.
Absolutely. Mm. As a result, I think, of having children.
Mm. Interesting.
It buckled her. Mm. And when she was a young person, my mother was always driving horses and things. She was very energetic. She didn't know her own strength, you see. And when she had me, and then eventually she had my brother, it sort of buckled her.
Mm.
I don't know what
did she take it out on you at any time?
No.
With resentment at what you'd done to her
No.
in a way? I mean,
no,
you never
no,
felt
no,
that as
no.
a child.
Oh, no, she doted on us. Doted on us in one way.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Oh, no.
Yes, that's interesting.
No. No, she didn't, no. And another thing, very funnily enough, when we came of recent years, when she was staying in the hotel in Rhyl, and my father died, she starts talking about her will, you see, and she told her what she'd done, and she says, what do you think about that? Well, I said, I don't think that's fair. She says, I've treated you and your brother the same. I said, I don't think that's fair at all. So she said, why not? Well, she says, I said, you know jolly well that he's always had a good job, and of course, you know, I've had a very hectic life. Half the time she didn't know half the miseries I had to endure. I'd never burdened her with them. Well, she says, what do you suggest? Well, I said, I think it'd be a good idea. I said, if you bought my house, which I'd rent, was this house that I was renting at the time. Well, she had a friend who advised her on finances, and they sort of got them together. And as it happened, funnily enough, the landlords, who were also lawyers, they came along to inspect the property and sort of survey, you know.
Mm.
And I said, it's just possible that you might think of selling this house. He said, you could make an offer, just like I'd say. Off he went. So, of course, I wrote to my mother, and they made an offer in a letter to me, and I said, I don't think that would tempt them. They increased it exactly by £100, and they accepted. And here I am. And, of course, I didn't have a survey. I had a lot of expenses as a result.
Mm. It must be very valuable.
Oh, yes, it is. Nevertheless, it paid off, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
And I was very lucky. I've always had some very good builders around me.
Mm.
People that won't charge the earth, you know?
Mm. Don't let it boil over. Were each other's company? Did they spark off each other or joke with each other? Or how did they behave together?
I never remember any upsets, never.
But I wondered, you know, did they tease each other or joke with each other or, you know, enjoy?
Oh, yes, my father had a very keen sense of humour. Yes, he'd say to a person, come into the office and tell me all you know. It won't take you a minute. That was his kind of human. Oh, yes, we had a lot of fun like that. Now, you don't take milk.
No, thanks.
No sugar.
No sugar either, no thanks.
What have I done with
your mother? I mean, in a way, it must seem to me that it must have been a bit overpowering to have had a mother like that.
No.
And did you have to sort of shake her off in a way to grow up yourself?
No, she wasn't overpowering, no. No. Mm. You see, the point is we were... How can I describe it? We were never encouraged to do anything ridiculous or stupid. You see, we had common sense ruling us, I think, really.
Mm.
And... business was discussed at times, you know, we had sort of grown-up conversations, sort of, you know.
Mm.
And not only that, of course, another thing too, we had so many activities, you see. We could do all sorts of things, being on a farm, being on the sea, swimming and all that, you see.
So she wasn't standing over you and overpowering you?
Not that type at all. No, no, she wasn't. No, she wasn't.
Mm.
Strangely enough.
When did she die, actually?
In, let me see now. 1948.
Really? 3 years after the end of the war?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes.
Must seem a long time ago to you.
Oh, yes.
What was the firm called, by the way? I completely forgot to ask you. The firm, the business that you...
Well, funnily enough, it was a partnership.
Mm. Mm.
It was just A. Lawrence, A. Lawrence, because my mother's name was Annie and my father's name was Arthur. Mm. But funnily enough, when he died, she discovered that the partnership bond had been, the document had been in existence, preserved, and she only had to pay half the death duties.
That's splendid. So she was still...
Half the business was hers.
Mm. Well, good for her. That was very good planning, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Oh. Hmm. You see, it was all a bit advanced when you come to think of it all those years ago.
I was going to say, very advanced, and one up to your father, actually.
Well, see, partners together.
Yes, yes, very much one up to your father. Was she very proud of your brother, do you think, for what he'd done? Did you make a fuss of him? I mean...
Oh, well, yes, we were a very attached family. Oh,
yes,
yes, yes. Oh, yes.
Because he did really very well, as you say, in getting to Cambridge from a family like that and a background like that.
Really, I'll tell you who his contemporaries were, and he didn't think much to him, either. The fashion designer, you know.
Oh, yes.
Who used to design with the Queen? What was his name?
Hartnell, you mean?
Yes, Norman Hartnell.
Mm.
Well, I used to be intrigued because I was keen on things, and I used to say, what kind of... Oh, what rubbish he used to make us. Well, of course, another thing too, we used to go to a lot of theatres. Always at theatres.
What, in Liverpool or where?
No, we had a theatre in Rill. We had all the first-class companies coming. We had a beautiful pavilion there for singing. Tetrazzini was one of the artists.
Really? What, all year round? Was this all just in the season?
Mostly in the season.
Mm.
Mostly in the season. But then in the off-season, of course, we had our own dramatic society, and there was the... Orchestral Society. There's all these groups, you know.
Yes, because that's one of the things that...
See, the musical world...
...vanished now. Mm. I mean, there was so much self-provision of recreation, wasn't there? So many, you did so much as a... Even in the family, I mean, you had lots of family recreation.
Oh, of course, we had a piano. I was a pianist, of course.
Yes.
And my brother had a voice, a very nice voice, so was my aunt.
Mm.
And we used to have friends and come up, you know, and...
Mm.
People used to have talents in those days, you know, they were able to develop.
What about class, Mrs. Shannon? Do you think your mother had social aspirations? Do you think she wanted to move up? Or did she see herself as a tradesman's wife and that was it? Or what, do you think?
I'll tell you, there's one thing that...
It's a difficult question, I know that.
Yeah, no, that we did note. You see, a lot of the people were not... not in trade. Now there was the groups of people, professional people, dentists, whatever you like, you know, lawyers and so on. Now there was that kind of a feeling that you were a tradesperson, you were like the blacks today, a little bit, you see. Well, now that didn't worry Mother in the least because she got enough common sense to know they were completely ignorant. She'd been to America, she knew jolly well what life was like, you know what I mean? Of some of these people were haggling over, have you charged too much for a halfpenny? You know.
Mm.
No, she was very broad-minded.
So she didn't try to move up, really. She was what she was, and that was it, you know, sort of thing. But very much middle class, not working class.
No, nothing like working class. Oh, no.
Mm.
Oh, no.
Because again, you used to have...